Somebody told me a few weeks ago, it's okay if we go past 12 o'clock. I heard plenty of people. It was not Billy Hamilton, I can tell you that. But guess what? It's 10 after 12 right now. So there we go. So anyhow, our scripture this morning comes from Luke's Gospel, the first chapter, beginning with verse 26 through verse 38. It's the birth of Jesus foretold. It says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and he said, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was much perplexed by his words, and she pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Now the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Now Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel said unto her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth is in her old age and has conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her, who was said to have been barren. For nothing will be impossible with God.' Then Mary said, 'Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word.' Then the angel departed from her." The word of God this day for us, his children. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you this day for who you are in our lives, for your blessings, for your word. And this morning, Lord, as we look at the impossibility of love that comes in your word, as you called a young girl to bring the Messiah into the world. So we ask, Lord, this day that you just hold us close in these time that is at hand, that you just open our hearts to hear your word this day. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. The impossibility of love. You see, it is no accident that Mary takes center stage this time of year. You see, Mary has been so venerated by some Christians, so ignored by many other Christians, and misunderstood by quite a few more. At times, you know, the Catholic Church has transformed this peasant Jewish teenage girl into a queen in another realm. She's Mary, the mother of Jesus. At times, Protestants and evangelicals have pretended that she never existed, or that they have missed the truth that she is the first disciple, that she displays radical faith and trust in God. You see, Mary hears the call of God and she responds. She models faith. She models obedience. She models servanthood, discipleship, and hospitality. You see, the Annunciation is the Word of God that we have read this morning. Through the messenger to Mary, "You have found favor with God. The power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will give birth to the Savior." The Savior of the world. "And how can this be?" Mary asked. "Nothing will be impossible with God," the angel says to her. The call of God is to an extraordinary, ordinary lady. And yet, the call to do something quite extraordinary. You see, God calls you and I each and every day, ordinary people, to do extraordinary things. God chose an ordinary human being, a young girl named Mary, to be the vessel through which the Son of God would be born. What is impossible for us is possible with God. Paul, writing many years later to the church at Corinth, would reflect on this truth that is common and profound. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, he says, "We have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us." It is God that it comes from, not we mortals. It says, in a busy season of the year, it is good to get clarity about what is happening in our world around us. God calls you and I, ordinary people, just like me and you. This has always been the way that the Lord works. Again and again, He does this. Paul again writes to the Corinthian church saying, "Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards." In other words, he said, you ain't too bright on your own. "Not many of you were powerful." You can't do a whole lot without God. "Not many of you were of noble birth." None of us come from great royalty. But it says, "God chose what is low and despised in this world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are." It says we can go further back into tradition and rehearse the call of Moses, who suggested that he was not eloquent of speech and that his brother Aaron might be a better candidate for God's mission. You know, we can go throughout the Bible and find places where people are like, "Listen, you know, God, I'm not that good. I'm not worthy. I can't do it." And God always makes a way. You see, the call of God comes to ordinary human beings like Mary. Yet through ordinary people, extraordinary things continue to happen. You see, the call of God found in the Annunciation finds its response in the later text, the Magnificat that Vicki read to you this morning from Luke's Gospel. Mary senses it. "I am an ordinary person," she says. "I'm not perfect. I am an ordinary person. I am not perfect." You see, preachers grasp this because we are definitely imperfect people. And we preach and teach to imperfect people. People all the time, because it's imperfect people trying to help other imperfect people through the perfect one, our Savior. You see, the good news of the gospel is that when God begins to search for us, God is not seeking perfection, because He would have a hard job. God chooses you and I, the ordinary. God loves the unlovable. In fact, God reverses just about every expectation that we might have of how the Lord would enter into the world and save it. He turns it around for us all the time. Does God flatter the proud? No. God scatters the proud. Does God seek an invitation from the throne? Does God seek an invitation for those people around Him? No, God brings those from thrones down. He lifts up the lowly. Does God hang out in the finest restaurants? No, God throws a banquet for the poor. Does God choose a queen or a princess to be the mother of His Son Jesus? No, God chooses Mary, a little peasant girl. Does God choose the wise, the noble, and the powerful in this world to accomplish the divine will? Oh no. God chooses you and God chooses me. Does God love those who are lovable? Yes. And God loves, guess what, those who are unlovable. God forgives the imperfect, and God reaches out to the lost. Christmas is really all about this attribute of God who loves us, who reaches out to us, who reaches down to us, who stoops to our weakness. "Mild He lays His glory by." John Wesley's brother Charles wrote in the carol, "Hark the herald angels sing. Mild He lays His glory by." There He is. Mild He lays His glory by. God comes in the unspectacular and the humble. He comes to us. This is what Christmas is all about. As a child, I remember my sisters and I, along with our parents, having our own Christmas gatherings on Christmas Eve. And then after waking up on Christmas morning and checking to see if we have gotten anything, we gathered ourselves and our treasures and we went to Grandma and Granddaddy's house for Christmas lunch, along with all of our other cousins. Aunts and uncles were crowded in the kitchen, dining room, back porch. There was usually 25, 30 people at these gatherings with lots of noise and lots of fun. I never in my life, from the time I was born till I was in my 20s, never got to the adult table. We never got there. Because, you know, the back porch was right off the kitchen, and it had been I'm sure at one time it was probably screened in, but it had been boarded in and everything, and the freezer was there, and the washing machine, and a couch, and another couch, and a little thing. It was a little hooked. Well, all along there, Grandma put TV trays. And they must have been six or seven of them. And then over here was two or three more, and over here in the door was a couple of more. And that's where the grand young'uns was. And there was 11 of us granddaughters. 11. Can you imagine 11 girls? But anyway, and that's where we would be. The little ones might be on a mom or daddy's arm or lap at the table. But that was it. We never, ever, and all my life, I grew up and I was in my 20s until when my father died at when I was 25, and things kind of changed, and Christmas was never, you know, kind of there anymore. But I'm thinking, you know, we all talked about it. We never graduated. We always sat on the back porch, or we might have got it to the den. But Grandma didn't like nobody eating in the den now. Don't be doing that. But you think about the things you gathered with family. You did things. You were at a table. You were around food. And everything was put in the kitchen. Everybody just went around and got their stuff and found their place. And when you found your place, then there was a prayer. And then you laughed and you talked and you enjoyed each other and you had a good time. I remember them as wonderful times. I know sometimes we fussed and we argued as children. Somebody took the wrong toy. Somebody grabbed something that belonged to somebody else. Or someone got the last biscuit or whatever might have happened. You know, there was all those kind of things. But we were always excited about being together and playing with our new things and seeing each other and what we had. You see, years have passed, and so many of those people have passed also. Grandparents have gone on along with many parents in that situation. And when I look at that place now, I always thought it was much bigger than it was. But guess what? It's my memory. Looking back at pictures from long ago, I see happy faces, and I can recall why someone looks so happy or sad. We can look at pictures and say, I know what you got that year, and I know why you're looking like that, and I know over there, goofy, all those kinds of things. We look at those pictures with cousins. I remember going back to that house that my grandparents, and it will never be the same because they're not there anymore. Yet it is still someone's home, and they are making memories. Because things change. People move on. And it wasn't particularly that house. It was wherever we were going to be as people. You see, it is the simple things of life. People will probably not remember if you had all the silverware and the correct dishes in place. I'm sure they're not going to remember all those things. They will remember the goodness and the genuineness of the people in that place. God called and chose Mary, and her responses was the clue. Her response was the clue. God chose the simple to confound the wise. God chooses the humble to shame the strong. God always chooses the ordinary to do something extraordinary. What is impossible for us is possible for God. You see, in a stable, probably more like a dark cave, on a hillside in the country, out of the way, a baby was born to two very scared people. They had nothing to offer, only the circumstance of their lives. They heard the call of God, each in their own way. They responded in faith in their own way. Mary was perplexed, but she said yes. Joseph didn't understand what was happening with Mary until God talked to him in a dream and he said yes. He stood by. Christmas for us 20 centuries later is no different. What is the call and what is our response? What's your response? What is mine? What is God saying to you this Christmas? What are you saying to God? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much this day for your son. But Lord, we thank you so much for Mary and Joseph. Mary who responded as a servant. Says, you found favor with God, Mary. You found favor with God. And Joseph, who didn't understand but listened to your will, God, and your way. and followed what you told him to do. We thank you, Lord, for the impossibility of love that comes in and through your people. In and through your people who are willing to serve, who are willing to say yes, who are willing to go when they are called, who are willing to say, I want to make a difference, who are willing to say, yeah, here I am. I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm willing to do it. Lord, this day, this week, make us truly look to you. Make us truly be in awe of that which is around us. Make us truly want to serve you differently, stronger, with commitment, with passion, with understanding. So, Lord, this day, hold us close as we prepare ourselves for the few days that are ahead, for the arrival of the light into the world, your Son. Amen. Our hymn of decision this morning is